Welcome, everyone. I'm Marilyn Stern, Associate Fellow with the Forum, and I'll be your chair. Today, we welcome Lee Smith. Lee is Senior Editor of the Weekly Standard and Senior Fellow at Foundation for Defense of Democracies, and we're pleased that he's joining us today to share his remarks on the Obama Doctrine Lead from Behind approach to U.S. foreign policy. The U.S. is pivoting to Asia to contain China and North Korea, and the Navy's trimmed its projected fleet size amid concerns we're spreading ourselves too thin in the Middle East and North Africa. Obama is planning a trip to Israel, the West Bank, and Jordan this spring. Is this going to signify a major policy shift in our light footprint in the region? There's lots to cover, so we'll get started. Lee?
Good afternoon. Thanks very much for having me, and it's a pleasure to be speaking with the Middle East Forum once again. And I look forward to your questions. I'm not going to go on too long. Going to speak for about 10 to 12 minutes, just sort of give my general take of what's happening in the region, and then we'll open it up to some of your questions. And thank you very kindly, Marilyn, and thanks again to everyone at the Middle East Forum. Yes, the Obama administration has been speaking about its pivot to Asia. The problem with that has not so much to do with Asia, but it has to do rather with the nature of the Middle East. Obama came to office, the administration came to Washington with the idea that the president was going to be a president of extrication rather than a president of involvement in the Middle East, and hence he's withdrawn forces from Iraq, forces from Afghanistan will be leaving shortly. Well, the one sizable military intervention that Obama initiated in the region was in Libya, where the notion of leading from behind came from. He's avoided other entanglements, most notably in Syria, where a conflict now has been raging almost exactly 2 years between the Assad regime and the Sunni majority opposition, which became an armed opposition about a year ago. As many of you know, and I suspect there are some of you who have differing opinions with me on this, and if so, I'll look forward to speaking with you about it. My position is that the United States has an interest in bringing down the Islamic Republic of Iran's one Arab ally. I think the United States does better in terms of foreign policy when it picks winners and ensures that that side wins and the other side loses. I'm under no illusions about the nature of the Sunni majority opposition in Syria. I do not think that this opposition is likely to rule democratically, nor do I necessarily believe that they will be fast friends and important allies of the United States. Nonetheless, the United States should be sequencing threats, and right now our major threat in the region, again, is the Islamic Republic of Iran. But allow me just to sort of give my my brief rundown on what I see the major problem with the Obama administration's policy of extrication. I think it's even less than leaving a light footprint now. I really do believe it's extrication from the region. And as I've spoken with different friends about this, it would be interesting to hear an actual argument for this. If, for instance, the administration were to let on that we no longer believe it's a region of vital interest for any number of reasons, if it's truly the case, as some people, news media have reported, that the United States is apt to become a net exporter of energy in the very near future, and the Middle East is becoming less strategically vital for us, if that's one of the reasons why we no longer think this region is that important, then that would be an interesting idea for the administration to put forward. However, I've heard nothing of the sort, or rather they've made no argument like that. And we know that they would make an argument, if not directly, then they'd let it on through various surrogates in the press. So, again, it's unclear to me why the administration thinks that this is not a region of vital strategic interest. Let me point to Libya right now as the sort of prime example of what happens when the administration believes it's best off leading from behind. In the Middle East, as in all places in the world, but I believe this is especially noticeable in the Middle East, that vacuums are filled by other people, and they're not always filled by friendly powers or friends. If we look at what's happened in Libya since the NATO-led campaign to bring down Gaddafi, Libya has itself, the country itself, has turned into something of a Wild West show. Of course, that's where Ambassador Christopher Stevens and three other Americans were killed on September 12th of last year. And I don't expect that the administration can be responsible for stopping every terrorist attack, certainly not. But I do believe that the administration's decision to effectively let a newly elected government in Libya fend for itself, yes, I do believe that this did lead to instability. Some of the other second-order effects that we've seen from Libya are, well, they actually cover the entire region. They've affected both the Levant as well as North Africa. What's happened with the vacuum in Libya is that Libya has become a source of NATO-quality small arms, many of which are winding up in Gaza right now. There's a smuggling route going from Libya into Gaza, and this is one of the things that, had the Israelis landed ground troops in Operation Pillar of Defense, the Israelis likely would have faced very serious NATO-quality arsenal, which was in Gaddafi's care. But since those weapons have gotten loose, it's created havoc. We see some of those same weapons winding up in Syria as well, where there have been also seasoned jihadi fighters making their way to Syria from Libya. Again, I think this is a problem. I think the Obama administration should have been able to empower other groups at the expense of the jihadis, and we could have had different assets fighting for American interests in Syria. Instead, the administration chose not to involve itself at all. In North Africa, we've seen other consequences, second-order effects from the vacuum in Libya, and those include the instability in Mali right now, where Tuareg nationalists, who have many of whom were Gaddafi fighters. After Gaddafi fell, they left and they went to go fight Malian forces for the independence of Azawad. This conflict is drawing in a lot of neighbors, and this is also what's caused France to land troops in Mali, fighting along Malian forces against Tuareg nationalists, as well as different al-Qaeda affiliates, including al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb. And it appears that AQIM, al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb, also played an active role in the attack on Libya, the September 11th attack on Libya. I wanted to make quick note also of the president's upcoming trip to Israel in the spring. I note this because if, insofar as the administration does seem to be drawing down, does seem to be extricating itself from the region, the question then is not only how does this affect Israel, but how does this affect other allies? The realist approach to foreign policy believes in something called offshore balancing, which means that the United States doesn't always need to land troops, but we can rely on different allies to support us and advance our interests. And of course, Israel is the perfect example of this. Israel, having been referred to sometimes as an unsinkable battleship in the Eastern Mediterranean, Israel does provide offshore balancing like this. However, there are no other regional allies who are capable of doing this. In fact, our absence, our lack of an active role in the region, we have to wonder how much if this is going to endanger other allies. Right now I'm thinking specifically about Jordan. What does the diminishing U.S. role mean for Jordan? So these are some of the questions that I think we need to be asking ourselves about the administration's policy of extrication from the region.